I'd like to reflect on today's readings from a distinctively Catholic perspective. This came to my mind first because of the gospel, which contrasts honoring the commandments of God and honoring human tradition. A frequent accusation against us Catholics is that we honor our traditions more than the Word of God. I think it's a false accusation, but I want to get to that. But as I reflected on it, I think even the first reading is worthwhile reflecting on from a Catholic perspective. So we'll start there. This is a continuation from yesterday. Solomon is in the newly built and newly consecrated temple, and he's offering a beautiful prayer in praise of God. We only get excerpts from the prayer. If you want to look it up, you can see Solomon makes a long prayer, and he's acknowledging that this place, this temple, is a place where people can come to pray, to worship God, and to encounter God, and to present their petitions to God. Well, it's beautiful, and the temple of Solomon was the will of God, that there be a physical place where people could gather and offer their prayers and sacrifices. We have this in Catholic tradition. We have specific physical places where we pray. Here's one of them. We're sitting in a chapel with the Blessed Sacrament. It's a place where the sacrifice of the Mass is offered. It's a holy place. It's been blessed, dedicated to God. And that's deep in our tradition. We always take it for granted that churches, Catholic churches, are places where we can pray. Last year, in November, I made the pilgrimage to Portugal and Spain with a large group of priests, and we went to very many, very beautiful churches. And they were all Catholic churches. Now, maybe there's some beautiful Protestant churches around, but they weren't on our itinerary. And I don't know of any place, any Protestant church or evangelical gathering space where people go to pray. I don't know of any. Maybe there are some. Maybe some high church, you know, Anglicans have beautiful, they have beautiful churches. But the Catholic approach is, it's right to set up a space and dedicate it to God and make it beautiful because it's a place where you can pray. Now, it's true God is everywhere. You don't have to go anywhere to pray. You can pray anywhere. But it's also true that because we are physical beings, we need physical spaces which make it easier for us to pray. And that's what we do with our churches. So this temple of Solomon, he's saying, can it be that God dwells on earth? He says, if the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple, which I have built? Exactly right. God is not confined to the temple. He's not confined in the tabernacle. And yet, he is present in a unique way. And it makes it a special place of prayer. You can just reflect on your own experience. I hope you have gone to adoration chapels, or you've gone to places where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, or just gone into a big empty church where nothing's going on except that the Blessed Sacrament is there, and find if it's a good place for prayer. I'm sure you will. Then go into an auditorium or go into a Protestant building and see if that's a good place to pray. You could pray anywhere, but I'm telling you, God designates specific physical places because we need those. And it's a great blessing to have them. When I was in Fatima, I shared this already, but it comes back to my mind. In Fatima, where Mary appeared, there's a little chapel on the site where she appeared the first time. And it's a sacred space. But it's not a beautiful church. It's just a little chapel with some benches around it. Then there's a big church. I think it was built in the 50s. I found it a beautiful place to pray, and the tombs of the saints are there, the shepherd children. I found it a beautiful place to pray. Then at the other end of the plaza, there's a huge auditorium. It's also considered a cathedral or something, a basilica. And it's an ugly building, and I didn't see anybody praying in there. It's a big, empty, blank-walled, concrete structure. It's a Catholic church, and I think the Blessed Sacrament was there somewhere. But it's not a place that's conducive to praying. So maybe they spent millions of dollars on it, but I think it was a failure. This chapel is much better than that. this simple chapel with a few statues and the Blessed Sacrament, it's a place of prayer. So that's a reflection on what Solomon is acknowledging, that God, who is everywhere and doesn't need a temple, he chooses places where we can encounter him. And this is deep in the Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament, wherever people encountered God, they set up a little shrine. This is a holy place. But in the New Testament, the place to encounter God is Jesus Christ. So wherever Jesus Christ is, that's where we meet God. And Jesus Christ is here in the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, so that's one Catholic reflection on our churches, temples, shrines. Now, when it comes to the gospel, there's this conflict between the Pharisees and scribes on one hand and Jesus and his disciples on the other hand. And the question is about observance of the tradition of the elders. The specific case is the washing of hands. But as Mark says, there were lots of things that were included in the tradition of the elders. And Jesus' response to the criticism is, look at you, you're hypocrites. You're upholding this human tradition and you're disregarding God's commandments. So he takes this small example of washing of hands and says, that's nothing compared to disregarding the commandment of honoring your father and your mother. He says, and there's many things, ways in which you do this. Now, this is significant to us because this is an accusation that is sometimes pointed at Catholics. We do have many traditions, and Bible churches look at our traditions and say, you're spending all this time doing non-biblical things, and you're not following the Bible. Now, I think that's false, but it is important for us to recognize the distinction between human tradition and divine tradition. Usually Catholics distinguish it to tradition with a small lowercase t and tradition with a capital T. Because there are things in our tradition, capital T, which are handed on to us by God. They're given to us and they're handed on from generation to generation. And these are legitimate, well, these are pillars of our faith. There are lots of things we do that are small t traditions, which are not essential. So, for example, I was having a discussion the other day about the old ways of observing Lent. There used to be a kind of pre-Lenten period, liturgical period, Septuagesima and Sexagesima and Quinquagesima, and all these traditions that were dropped with the council. Now, you can debate about whether they should have been dropped or not, or whether they were valuable or not, but you can't say they're essential. I know that some of the traditionalist churches say that the changing of some of those human traditions was a huge disaster. Well, maybe, but it's not an essential part of the faith. Tradition with a capital T, I'll give one example. There are seven sacraments. It doesn't say that in the Bible. There's support for all the sacraments in the Bible, but there's no passage that says there's seven sacraments and this is what they are. But that is our tradition, and we do hold on to that. That we can rely on as much as we can rely on the Bible, because it's handed on to us from the apostles. In fact, the Bible itself is handed on to us from the apostles and from their successors. The reason why we can trust the Bible is because it was given to the church. It arose from the faith of the church. Anyway, the point is, there are traditions that are sacred, that are not nullifying the word of God. They're the fruit of the word. They're fulfillment of the word. But then there are other traditions which are not, that are not that important. And there is a danger that we can make human traditions more important than the commandment of God. That is a danger. And Jesus' warning to these scribes and Pharisees applies to all of us, Catholics or not. So to not make human traditions more important than the commandments of God. So we can argue about how many candles we should have, or about how tall the altar should be, or about what to do in the period between Epiphany and Lent. And there's lots of things we can argue about. But don't argue about them and thereby violate the law of love of God and love of neighbor. Don't make minor things obstacles to fulfilling the will of God. I think that's a good thing for us to recall, especially as we approach Lent, and Lent is coming up next week. It's good to keep in mind what are the essentials and what are unessential things that either help us or get in the way of our worship of God and our love for one another.